Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
He just cracks me up, dude. He's like a cartoon character. And he screened this call from Scott, who he types in the description. Scott's whole take here is just Browns are bad. So without further ado, Scott, you're next up on the fan. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm just calling because it's funny. I got a Tesla. And I found out I could listen to 92.3. So I started listening to you guys. I've been in it over for around 20 years. The only reason I still have the tickets is because my son's in a wheelchair and he likes to go to the games. And for years, I used to have to go to my seats. I used to have 4 tickets. Now I only have 2 because I couldn't sell them, couldn't get anyone to go. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go to my seat and tell them I needed a handicap seat. And then I used to have to go back down to the first floor for them to get me a handicap seat and go to some seat somewhere. And it took an hour, hour and a half. Half the time we missed the kickoff. And then the Browns were so bad that they gave me a handicap seat with a companion seat because I told them I'm not going to keep the ticket unless I can come to the game and just go to my seat.
Well, that's very good, Scott. Congratulations. And I mean, hey, keep going to the games. It's fun to go to the games sometimes.
They're
going to
figure it out eventually, Scott.
But thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. I'm
keep listening to your car.
Yeah. And congrats on the, I'm also fellow Tesla owner and congrats on the new car.
I kid you not, when I screened the call, I asked him what he wanted to talk about. He said, I want to talk about how bad the Browns are. I said, okay. I waited to see if you said anything else because, you know, you callers, you like to tell me your whole take, and I like listening to the whole take, and that's fine. So usually I expect there to be more after the initial sentence. There was no initial sentence after that, so I wasn't expecting him to be very long-winded there.
Hey, okay. Man, it's a Friday night. The guy's got a new Tesla. He's listening to the fan.
Driving in style.
He's thinking about, you know, going to the game. Got to get there 2 hours early because you got to finagle around with the wheelchair. Like, I feel for him, and I appreciate him calling in. How do you pivot from that?
Dominic is a character. You know who also is a big character on this station? Ken Carmen. And I heard that
he went viral
the other day.
I'd say
something about Shador Sanders.
If the New York Post picks you up, you went viral.
You know, did like something really good or really bad.
Yeah, and usually it's pretty bad. You know, like usually the news loves building people up and tearing people down. But this was good because Ken had a really good rant about Shador Sanders, where he pretty much just said that they're doing everything they can to give Shador Sanders the fairest shot possible. I found that to be interesting. He went on to say that he'll take it to the grave that they're doing nothing to try to break Shador Sanders. And Anthony, you know, like dating back to pre-draft, right? Like I wanted Shador Sanders at number 2 overall. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really good. I still truly believe that he has the highest ceiling of these 4 quarterbacks that they have. I'd almost dare to say that he's probably the best of the 4 quarterbacks like today. I really do have that much faith in the young man. But I have to say, I agree with what Ken Carman said. And I think what gets lost with the Shedeur Sanders thing is that there are so many people that fell in love with the storyline of Shedeur Sanders at Colorado and Coach Prime. And like, we thought the Baker bros at Oklahoma were crazy that came to Cleveland and followed Baker from Oklahoma to Cleveland. And like, they didn't really know Browns football, but they were fans of Baker. So they adopted the Browns. Like, those people were nuts. But these Shedeur Sanders people are crazy. Like, do I want to see Shedeur Sanders get more time with the ones? Absolutely. Am I going to say that I think the Cleveland Browns are sabotaging the young man's career intentionally because they're not giving him snaps with the Browns? No, they're not doing that. Like, could we think logically for a second? And again, this is coming from me, a massive Shedeur Sanders fan that wants to see the kid get out there at some point this year and play really well for the football team. Why would they try to sabotage him intentionally? Why do people think that there's some sort of big conspiracy at play here and that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are like the boogeymen and they just hate Shedeur Sanders so much and they hope he fails because they're so in love with their short little Hawaiian friend Dylan Gabriel? Like, I don't think that's really what's going on here. Like, I think they're trying to make sure that when Shedeur gets on the field, the hype that he's going to have inevitably because of the celebrity is going to match the production. Like, they're just trying to make sure that this is not Johnny Manziel 2.0, because that's worst case, right? Yeah. Like, it's worst case for the kid if they put him out there and he just absolutely embarrasses himself, because it'll let all of the haters, and there are plenty of those as well, get the last laugh. They'll be able to have the last laugh at Shedeur Sanders and say, well, see, this was the kid that threw a big NFL draft night party for himself and all the pageantry and the Rolexes and the rap songs, and look at him, he failed. And then all the fingers will then point to the Cleveland Browns and they'll say, well, look at you. You guys failed him because he was the guy that turned around Colorado, who was a laughing stock and made them a relevant college football program again. Like, I don't think there's some vendetta against Shedeur Sanders right now. I really don't. I think they're just trying to turn the young man into an NFL quarterback. Dom, do we have the audio from Ken Carman? Here's Ken Carman on Shedeur Sanders, and the Browns are not trying to ruin this young man's life. Trust us.
But they are doing everything they can for a guy like the name of Sanders, a star of his caliber. They're doing everything they can to provide the fairest shot possible for him. I will take it to my grave, whether it's in the next minute, the next 30 minutes, or the next 30 years, I will take it to my grave and say it right to St. Peter's face. They are doing nothing to try to break a quarterback. They're doing nothing to try to break Shedeur Sanders, especially Shedeur Sanders. For anybody out there who is not a real Browns fan, who might be listening to this, I am telling you right now, shaking as hard as I can, they are not doing anything to try to sabotage or try to break Shedeur Sanders or to not be fair to Shedeur Sanders. How many jerseys did he already sell? How many jerseys did he already sell? How many autographs has he already signed in Greater Cleveland? How many events has he already had in Greater Cleveland? How many events has this man already... How much charitable contribution has this man made to society over the last upteen years here, or at least the last four since he was at Jackson State, and certainly probably before because of who his father is? How many things has he done? They're trying to break Shedeur Sanders? After the cloud this franchise has been under over the last three seasons, they don't want that guy to be a franchise quarterback for them. The team that's more obsessed with finding a franchise quarterback than any team out there, they don't want Shedeur Sanders to play for them. Please, if you are not a real Browns fan, and I understand that many of the people who are saying these things aren't, and they've just looked at the Browns as not a good franchise and something they have not paid attention to, I don't want to tell you to pull your head from your ass, because I want to be inviting to you.
Well, that's the point of it there. Like, the last piece is what he hit home on. Like, these people that are saying this aren't real Browns fans. Like they are not trying to break this kid. I truly don't believe there's any conspiracy at play here. I truly think that when Shedeur Sanders proves to them that he's ready, and maybe that's the part that you could have a conversation and a debate about, is do you trust Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry to be able to identify when that is and to be able to actually develop and coach up Shedeur Sanders? That's a separate conversation than the Browns trying to intentionally sabotage Shedeur Sanders because 1 month into his NFL career, he hasn't had snaps with the first team. And now this is all kind of a moot point. He's taken snaps with the first team. Could we all take a little bit of a breath about this? I don't think they're trying to ruin the kid.
It's interesting because no entity creates cult-like stars the way that college football does. I mean, I went to Syracuse. If Kyle McCord came here, it would be tongue-in-cheek, but I would be banging the drum for them to play Kyle McCord. Like, I was doing it in the pre-draft process. Good God in heaven, if Will Howard got drafted here, what all of the Ohio State fans in town would be saying. So you gather these fan bases throughout the country, and you mentioned it before, with Johnny Manziel, with Odell Beckham Jr., with Baker Mayfield, all of these guys come in from college or from another team, and the fans look at the Browns as the organization they've been since 1999, and they say, I'm just going to be a fan of the player, and I want my player to play and do well because I believe in him. And the other thing is, it's probably a little bit of a coping mechanism, and I'm glad that you laid it out to begin with, because I have never been a Shedeur fan. You have been. But for you to say, can we all take a step here? That's huge. I think it hits harder home than if I were to say, because I think people would have tuned me out.
Well, it's like if two things could be true at once, right? Like I want Shedeur to succeed so bad, mm-hmm. but I also and I've seen it with my own two eyes. He's a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's a talented young man at that position when he takes the field. But I also am a rational thinking human being, and I know that the first six games of this season would be unfair to any quarterback. Even if they would have drafted Shedeur Sanders at number two overall, and they truly loved him and believed in him, I'd be a little bit nervous about those first six games. I'd be nervous about sending him to Baltimore in week two against the Ravens, who would be licking their chops with the Baltimore defenders be to throw up the wrist and flash the crowd after a big sack on Shedeur Sanders. It would be malpractice. So people just need to pump the brakes. I want to see him this year. I think you have to see him this year. But that doesn't mean that, because you're not going to see him the first even 10 weeks of the season, it doesn't mean that they're trying to sabotage the kid.
Now, what I will say is it's a coping mechanism for these people because they still believe that he is this top five quarterback that should have been taken first or second overall, and he just didn't because the powers that be didn't like him. We're all looking at it as he's a fifth round pick that the Browns are slow playing because, and with the first six games, I bet you just play devil's advocate that they'd say Shedeur Sanders is good enough to play in those games. He gives the Browns the best opportunity to win in those games.
You know, and I'll probably get to that point. Like say the Browns start off 0-6. I'll just throw my hands up in the air and let these people have their moment, mm-hmm. you know, and be like, okay, put them on the field. Put him on the field and see what happens. Because if they start 0-6 and the season looks lost, then you might as well rip the Band-Aid off and see what you have. Because if you start 0-6, that means that there's got to be somebody better than whoever was the starting quarterback. You made another funny point there, too. Imagine if this was Will Howard. Imagine if the Browns, instead, when they traded up, you know, they got rid of their 6th and 7th round picks and they packaged it up to jump the Eagles in order to draft Shedeur Sanders. Imagine if instead of Shedeur, they drafted Will Howard and this same thing would be happening where you had Gabriel in the 3rd round and then Will Howard in the 5th round and everybody would be losing their collective minds, especially in the state of Ohio, saying, well, it's an open quarterback competition. Why isn't Will Howard getting time with the ones? We really would be doing the same thing, even if you drop the last name Sanders and you put the last name Howard or you put the Shedeur last Howard. Name, Shedeur McCord on there as well. This isn't a very interesting conversation because this week Browns owner Jimmy Haslam said that the Browns should absolutely see their rookie quarterbacks this year. So it is time to get these guys ready. It's Nick Pedone and Anthony Alant on Overtime right here on The Fan. We'll get into some of that straight ahead.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The rookies this season, obviously Dylan Gabriel, the third round pick, Shador Sanders, the most popular fifth round pick in the history of the NFL draft. Jimmy said, absolutely, we'll see him this year. 216-474-0092. Do you guys absolutely want to see the Browns rookie quarterbacks?
Well, he said he wants to see them if it works out. He said we will.
At what point does Jimmy's dream come true? It is really what I wonder, because I'm almost ready to lay to bed. I know Daryl has been all over this on our Sunday show together. I mean, he sniffed it out in mini camp. Like, it wasn't even training camp. And he was like, this is not a 4-man quarterback competition. The rookies will not start week one. And I know there have been people, you know, that you know, say they cover the team, or social media personalities, whatever, that have said, oh, like, maybe they're getting Dylan Gabriel ready to go. They're giving him a lot of snaps. Like, I've seen that from a couple of accounts. Like, I'm almost ready to put that to bed. You heard Kevin Stefanski today on Afternoon Drive, and Stefanski used the word sloppy to describe practice today. Dylan Gabriel completed 3 passes at practice today. 3.
Oh, don't pass count yet. Not during training camp.
He completed
wait till the preseason.
He completed 3 of them. I'm not looking at training camp stats, and you can't read too much into this stuff because they are evaluating these guys, but like, Gabriel was the guy that would have won the job, quote unquote, to start week one. If it was going to be either of the rookies, it would have been at least the guy that's gotten time with the ones, not the guy that's been throwing passes to equipment managers leading up to this week before they put pads on. But I'm getting to the point where you put that in the rear view. Now that you've got Kenny Pickett back into the fold at practice, you at least going through the individual stuff. You've got Joe Flacco, who was the most efficient quarterback at practice today, particularly in the red zone. Like, this thing is, I think our answer 1 week away from the first preseason game is starting to get a little bit clearer that it's going to be one of the veteran quarterbacks that start week one. And then the question has to come, at what point do you see these rookie quarterbacks? Or if Flacco balls out, and I really pause because I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know that he's going to be able to replicate the magic of the 2023 season because of how difficult these first 6 games are for the Browns. At what point does Jimmy's dream come true and we get to see these young quarterbacks on the field?
Yeah, it's probably going to be when the season's already over. Like you mentioned, they're going to go 1-5 or 0-6 off the rip. Maybe they'll surprise people and they'll go 2-4. And then they'll say, all right, let's see the rookies. Because, I mean, it's the question of the season. How much time is enough time to evaluate these guys? When do you move to the rookies? Do you even need to see the rookies? And I do think it's going to be at that point. And there is a little something there where are they truly winning the job if that's when you're going to them? Like, if the season's already over, because I don't like, the week one thing is out of the question. It's going to be Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. And once it, like, and we also agree that they're not going to be that good this year. They have a really hard schedule off the rip. If you're going to one of these guys once the season's over, in my mind, it is strictly to evaluate how they do and if you do have anything there. It's not that they have won the job or taken the mantle throughout the weeks in practice away from people. If they aren't able to win the job out of week one, them getting the job eventually is simply looking at, we just need to see what we have. Which doesn't, like, if Shedeur Sanders ends up starting a game, it's not, we're not going to sit here and say, well, he won the starting job this week. We're going to say, he's the only quarterback left that we have to evaluate.
It goes back to the revelation that I had a couple of weeks ago. And you know, hold on in the steering wheel when I say this, because it's so depressing. But it does just make you realize, like, the situation that you just laid out there, it makes you realize that none of this matters. Because, like, okay, let's for the sake of an exercise, let's say that they start Joe Flacco week one. And we know that the first six are going to be tremendously difficult. Say they go 1-5 and things start to look rough and you get back from London, you lose to Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh like you always do. And, you know, writing's on the wall that it's time for a change. And you go to Shedeur Sanders at 1-5 and he actually plays good. And you've got 11 games of Shedeur Sanders playing good. Mm-hmm. And maybe you finish with 5 wins. On the season, because Shedeur Sanders played good. I still think you're drafting a quarterback in the first round. You're not passing on a quarterback. And we've got to see who's there. Like, we've got to see if Arch comes out. Jimmy Haslam also said that he doesn't expect him to come out, which was a fascinating element of that press conference. Like, why would you comment on that? You know, Drew Aller, Lenora Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, the names are all going to be there. And if you only win 5 games and you've got 2 first-round picks with the bonus pick from Jacksonville, like, it's not that these dudes are set up for failure. It's just that they're not set up to get a fair evaluation to become the franchise quarterback.
Oh, I think both of them are set up for complete and utter failure. Like, Anthony Lima brought it up this morning. How good do they really need to be, as you mentioned, for the Browns to say we don't need to take a quarterback in the first round next year?
It has to be an emphatic yes. Like,
which is so hard to do as a rookie, let alone a mid-round rookie.
They have to be so good. Like, it has to be as if... Like, the Cleveland Browns, like, it has to, like, I don't know. I know, like, Don, I just got engaged recently, you know, this summer. Congrats. You're in the dating scene. Dom's in the dating scene. For the Browns to not draft a QB in 2026, they got to get down on one knee and marry one of these guys. Like, they have to feel that confident that we're going to pass up on all the other fish in the sea. Because you're the one, Shedeur Sanders, or you're the one, Dylan Gabriel. Like, they have to be that sure, especially because Jimmy Haslam has said that they're not going to rush into finding this, you know, quarterback. They're not in a rush to find who can be that guy. And evidently, he wasn't lying because they drafted 2 of them.
But that was the problem with drafting 2 of them, like you mentioned, and trading for Kenny Pickett and bringing back Joe Flacco. If there was one mid-round rookie, let's say the... Shedeur Sanders in the 5th round was the only guy that they took. Boom. Go to him week one, right? Because, I don't think they're going to be that good this year. So go to him week one, and you have 17 games to say, here's what we have. The thing that you mentioned about getting down on one knee, you have to make sure that there are 0 flaws. Because you are going into a quarterback class where everybody in national football believes that it is head and shoulders better than this last quarterback group, and you got 2 first-round picks to do whatever you want.
We talked about going viral with our guy Ken Carmen. Not to brag here, but I posted a TikTok of my take on this station that has almost 13,000 views, where I said that this quarterback competition just doesn't make any sense. Like, mm-hmm. We've spent so much time talking about it, but if you take that 10,000-foot view, they got Kenny Pickett first. He was a backup last year in Philly. He wasn't good enough for the Steelers. And you like him and you think he's a reclamation project, then why do you bring back Joe Flacco? Maybe to pander to the fans, but you know that the fans are going to want to see him. And if you like Kenny Pickett that much, why would you even start this whole thing up? You like Dylan Gabriel. You draft him because you think he's a good, young, developmental piece that you want to have in the organization for a real long time, whether he plays this year or not. But then you also draft Shador Sanders 50 slots behind him. So how much did you really love Dylan Gabriel, and how much effort and resources and time and energy can you put into developing Dylan Gabriel when you've also got Shador? Like, none of this makes any sense. We're forced to talk about it because it's the cards we've been dealt. Like, I would love nothing more than to be talking about, like, well, we've got Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Which ones should we play? Like, I would love to be having that debate. I would love to be in Buffalo right now doing a show talking about, are the Bills serious Super Bowl contenders? But that's not the reality of my situation. The reality of my situation is they created a quarterback room full of castoffs. It's the island of misfit toys. All four of those guys, nobody else wanted. You think people were really kicking down Howie Roseman's door for Kenny Pickett? I got another thing for you. You think Joe Flacco was really in high demand? He was sitting on his couch in 2023 before the Browns gave him a call because they had already run through four other quarterbacks that season. You think the Browns drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third round? You think anybody was even going to draft Dylan Gabriel in the fourth round? And the NFL owners told you how they felt about Shador Sanders, who thought he was going to be the number two overall pick, ended up being the 144th overall pick. None of this makes any sense.
So when do you think we're going to see one of these guys? When is Jimmy Haslam going to get his rookie quarterback on the field?
I hate that the season is 17 games. I would tell you smack dab in the middle of the season. So 8 games in.
Week 8.5.
they do it at the, you know.
Play the Thursday night game.
Tuesdays. Well, no, they didn't get no prime time yet. Tuesday's usually the, the day off. So I believe so. That Wednesday presser Kevin announces after the day off that it's going to be one of the rookies. I don't know. But I do think Jimmy gets his wish this year.
So where are the Browns at midway through the year in your mind? After week 8.
Like you, lost season.
Okay, so like 2-6, best case scenario?
I would like to be a little more. Give me 3-5.
3-5, fine. Okay, but you're like really, really behind the 8-ball right now. So again, is that not how that happens? You're 3-5, whatever. Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders is named the starting quarterback. How are you now feeling about one of these rookies?
I'm not feeling any. I'm feeling that it's time to just see what they have. It's time to see if one of these rookies would even be worth keeping around in a quarterback competition, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. with your first round rookie who's probably going to win the job into 2026. But I guess because they drafted both of them, you've got to see, are these players that are worth having in the organization? Like in the example that I laid out, where if it's a lost season through 6 games and they handed it over to Shador and he played good, like it actually could turn into a decent problem to have, where that then turns into a trade chip. And I get that would be wildly unpopular. Like if he plays good, boy, would we be having a debate on that. You know, should you keep him? Should you draft a kid? If they trade him, boy, would people be mad. Like that's a whole new can of worms that we really don't have time to get into today. But I do agree with Jimmy when he said absolutely, like, because this is the island of misfit toys here, you would be doing the fans and yourselves a disservice to not put these kids on the field at some point, because you just have to see. Like, there is a world, and again, it's a distant world, but there is a world where Dylan Gabriel, like, he's in the NFL. Everybody's gotten their licks in on him because he's short and he's left-handed. The dude's in the National Football League. A lot of people that call into this station have never made it to the National Football League. So, like, there's a world where he pops off and gives the Browns that emphatic yes. And then it's full steam ahead. Let's have some fun. We found ourselves Brock Purdy. Or we found ourselves at least Tua Tagovailoa.
So, yeah, I think the trade chip idea is probably the one that is most likely, that one of these guys, or maybe both of them, hell, it all works out and they give them 4 games apiece and everybody's happy at the end of the year, right? Yeah. And they're good, they're fine, but they don't give that emphatic yes, as you say, that we all sort of agree that they need to give in order to not draft a quarterback. Now you have a trade piece of a guy who has the capability to take over an offense at a young age, and I'll trade a 3rd-round pick for him because my quarterback went down. That
right.
looks to me and sounds like the most likely situation that's going to play out, which is not flashy. Like, everything that we're talking about here, the reality of the situation sucks.
Yep.
Nobody truly believes it is a hope that one of these guys is going to take over the reins at some point this year and ride off into the sunset. You're going to have to wait another year. But they did this, and they screwed over both of these people because, like we were talking about earlier, they couldn't make up their mind as to whether or not they were the 11-6 team or the 3-14 team.
I do wonder, if you hooked them up to a lie detector, like when they were on the clock in the third round with the 94th overall pick and they were writing Dylan Gabriel's name on the card, like in the back of their mind, was it like, we actually do kind of really like Shedeur Sanders, but we feel like we can't take him. Like nobody else is taking him. We felt like we couldn't take him this high. Like, let's just continue to go along with what everybody else is doing. I don't know. Things that keep me up at night. Well, we've been talking about it all week on the show. Maybe we'll have a little bit of clarity on the Browns quarterback situation because the preseason is officially 1 week away. And I want to be the first to ask, who would you, the fans, start at quarterback for the Browns on Friday against the Carolina Panthers? 216-474-0092. It's Nick Pedone and Anthony Alant with you till 11 right here on The Fan. So Cleveland Browns v. Bryce Young on Friday in Carolina. 216-474-0092.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Could you believe it's time to have this conversation already? Boy, football season is back. Who should the Browns start in this first preseason game? Alant, do you care?
I kind of do, because I think it's going to give a lot of indication as to where they feel the quarterback race is right now. Even if it's that Joe Flacco isn't playing and then Kenny Pickett starts, you're going to know Kenny Pickett's in the lead, or Joe Flacco's in the lead, Kenny Pickett's number two. If they say both of the veterans aren't playing week one, which would make sense, and Joe Flacco's old, so he doesn't need the reps in preseason, and Dylan Gabriel starts,
wouldn't that be fascinating?
I would say that that's most likely to happen. I would say then that Dylan Gabriel is in line to be that number two. So I'm really excited to see who they start, but then who they play in the second, third, and fourth quarter.
Excited is the word for this. I can't believe it. Like usually the preseason comes around, and like when I was younger, I would get amped for the preseason. Like, oh, yeah. I would just be pumped that football would be back. Like, even like the, you know, third, fourth quarter, I'd be locked in, like fully understood that the guy that was quarterbacking the team at that point, even though those were some pretty bad Browns teams, weren't going to be on the roster. Like, the, you know, like I knew what I was watching, but I was just so excited to have football back. That's wavered in recent years. It's kind of been lost on me in recent years. I don't know if it's because I got too big for my britches, you know, now that I kind of got into the media world and it's like, oh, here we go, another preseason, games that don't matter. You know, like somewhere along the way, I lost the luster in my eyes for the preseason football. But like this year, it feels like it's back. Like I feel like a little kid, and this is Christmas week. Like it's December 20th right now, and like the holiday is right around the corner. And Browns fans, I truly believe, should feel that same way. I think it's going to be hard to make inferences on this preseason. It's going to be hard to take things away from the preseason and use them as fact. Like say Dylan Gabriel starts week one. Like if Kevin Stefanski announces that at some point this week, people are going to have the conversation. The conversation is going to completely turn into a direction where it's, well, can Dylan Gabriel then start week one? And same mm-hmm. would go for Pickett or Flacco, and people are going to try to use how these quarterbacks are layered into their assumptions on how the 53-man roster will ultimately shake out and how the quarterback depth chart will actually shake out. I have a hard time doing that. I don't know that that's absolute concrete fact, but I can't deny the facts of what I know. When Kenny Pickett was healthy, they were giving him a king ransom of the one reps because Joe Flacco just doesn't need him. He's the older guy that's been around the block. So if Pickett continues to improve in his health from this hamstring injury, like I have to believe that he'll probably start in Carolina on Friday, just because to this point, he's been the guy that's gotten the most amount of significant snaps with the first team. I just don't know that when that happens, or whoever it might be, I don't know that we could learn a whole lot from one preseason game based off of the announcement. Now how these guys perform on the field, different story. Like if Kenny Pickett goes out there and he completely stinks up the joint, okay, then it's kind of to the drawing board for preseason game two, and you're probably going to see the other quarterbacks, at least the young ones, in that first preseason game. Am I crazy for thinking that you can't learn much out of the order that they decide to play these guys in on Friday?
Typically, I would say yes. And it's a little bit more of the order because we are literally going off of just what the media is able to see in camp right now. And it's this guy's with the ones, this guy's with the twos. Shador Sanders is throwing to trash bins, like that whole different thing. This is a tangible, okay, we are preparing this guy against fellow ones. And, you know, if Shador Sanders doesn't see the field until the fourth quarter, that is really going to cement your idea that they are slow playing the hell out of this guy,
right?
Because it's against guys that are going to be playing in the CFL and the UFL. But I think it's more so that, usually I would say yes, it's preseason. Who really cares? These are, like I mentioned, this is roster number 54 to 95.
Right.
The fact that the Panthers are playing all of their starters.
Right.
I do believe, and maybe I'm just so starved for football that I'm saying this, I do believe that that first half of that preseason game, you can take damn near anything that you want to away from that. If Kenny Pickett looks good, boom, he's your starter. If Dylan Gabriel looks awful, oh my God, why'd we even draft him? Like, I believe that you can come in here, if you're still doing the show on Sunday, and you can make definitive statements based off of that game.
All right, 216-474-0092. You guys looking forward to a week from tonight? We'll be elbows deep in Browns preseason football. Let's go out to Lance in Painesville. He's been hanging on patiently with us and got some thoughts on the Browns. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think real quickly, Kevin Stefanski, his development of young quarterbacks is still shaky, and that's what this whole thing tells me, because he's got two rookie quarterbacks. He's not committed to nobody. Look at his track record of developing young quarterbacks. It's terrible. And so from Baker Mayfield to Dobbs to DTR, he's not a developer of young. He wants a veteran quarterback, and I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that, but that's his MO. He wants a veteran. He wants a beard, somebody with a little gray on him. That's why he got Pickett and Flacco. He trusts. That's what he trusts, because his trust in trying to develop a young quarterback into a starting quarterback, into a franchise quarterback, is shaky. And people are always trying to tie him and Andrew Berry at the hip. Andrew Berry, yeah, he's had some talented players on his team, and it's been a swing and a miss at all three levels: the ownership, the general manager, and Kevin Stefanski. And so this guy, you know, how many chances are you going to give him to put the right quarterback? When is he going to start developing, actually developing a quarterback? He's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. I don't see it. You know, he says all the right things. He looks the part. He plays the part. But he doesn't do the part. And I'm trying to see what Kevin Stefanski does great besides those two questionable Coach of the Year awards. The second one he got, you can make a strong argument that either Mike Tomlin or D'Amico Ryans could have got there with a rookie quarterback winning the division title and winning a first-round playoff game. But they gave it to Kevin Stefanski because nobody expected the Cleveland Browns to do nothing that year. And so he went to the playoffs that year, so they gave it to him. So I don't believe he's a good quarterback developer, developing young quarterbacks. Hopefully, and another thing, you can't look at the schedule and you can't stop looking at the schedule. Some of those teams are not going to be as good as everybody thinks, including Baltimore and Cincinnati. You can't look at the schedule always.
All right, Lance, appreciate the call. I can't disagree with what he said there. You know, I keep
the going, development thing.
I keep going back to the development thing with Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Like, I don't think people understand. The Browns really like DTR. Yeah. Like, they were pumping air into the DTR tires that, like, if Deshaun flamed out, DTR, like, they had their eyes on DTR. Like, if Deshaun is really not good and ultimately turned out to really not be good, could you be Brock Purdy? Like, I think they had similar expectations to that for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That's why we saw, like, he was the backup quarterback. I don't know that he deserved that as a fifth round pick. And the fact of the matter is, I said this on Sunday as well. Like, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I love the kid. I really do. He was the worst Browns quarterback that I've ever seen in my life. And he actually got worse. Like he actually started off, you know, when he played the Hall of Fame game, it was like, we've got something here. He's a raw athlete. You saw the arm talent. He beat the Steelers. He was balling in that Broncos game before he got folded up like a lawn chair. Like you saw flashes from him, but he actually, like, he did the opposite of developing.
So
he got worse.
The development thing's really weird for me because the one guy that...
He's balling out in Philly, too, by the way. All signs are pointing to having a really good camp.
So the one guy that the Browns went all in on was Baker Mayfield. They picked him 1-1 overall. He had a successful to really successful tenure in Cleveland. He didn't work out because he was not mature enough to be a franchise quarterback here, and now he's that in Tampa Bay. Like, that's okay. That's fine. Him not being mature enough, I don't know if I necessarily put that on Kevin Stefanski, but Baker Mayfield developed into a guy that led you to the playoffs in 2020. Like, that happened.
That's where we
and
disagree.
And every other quarterback that he has had been trash bin at best.
I disagree with the Baker thing, and I fight with people tooth and nail about this, and it's just a conversation that it's done, it's in the past, we'll never know. I have the argument that, and Baker has said it himself, that he needed to leave Cleveland to grow up. Like, mm-hmm. Those words have come out of Baker Mayfield's mouth on numerous occasions. I just have a hard time with that, man. Because, like, as a coach, at the absolute highest level, your job is to get the most out of your guys. So, like, you needed to, even if you didn't want to and you wanted a guy with a little gray in the beard, like what he was saying, and you really like Case Keenum, who was Baker Mayfield's backup at the time, like, you probably should have helped Baker along the way and turned him into something. Like, you shouldn't have let him out of the building.
You did turn him into something, though. Like, you,
that's what
you
sucks,
went to
but
the playoffs.
And now we have nothing to show for that, though.
You went to the playoffs, like, for the first time in how many years?
Like,
you won a playoff game for the first time in how many years?
And the Buccaneers are enjoying the fruits of that.
Look, Kevin Stefanski could only do so much with Baker Mayfield. Whatever Baker Mayfield did when he left the building or while he was trying to be a leader, Kevin Stefanski could only do so much with him. Like, we can argue back and forth on whether or not Stefanski is a good leader as a head coach himself, but he helped Baker Mayfield win you a playoff game.
Like, what if they just benched him? That's what I go back to. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat And I'm like, I'm out of breath. I'm panting. I'm like, oh, what if they would have just benched him? What if they would have just sat him down when he had that shoulder injury and in the torn labrum? I know he wanted to play. I know he wanted to be out there. I love him for it. We've seen so many athletes in this town that have just mailed it in completely at a stub toe. They were like, we're not playing. I'm collecting a check. Baker wanted to be out there because he wanted to win so bad. Like, why didn't they just sit him down?
Was it Kevin Stefanski's call to go get Deshaun Watson? It was Andrew Berry's.
Yeah, but they both signed off on, like, Kevin was seated on that plane. He took that trip down to Houston to meet with him, boy.
Because you have to, but you saw a guy that was injured and you could only do so much about it. Like, you couldn't prevent him from playing. So the development thing is, and we are going to debate the Baker thing until the end of time because it's this big what if until the Browns find their next quarterback. But like, saying that DTR didn't work out is all Kevin Stefanski's fault. I mean, he was a mid at best college quarterback that was drafted in the fifth round. Like, that's, I do still believe that Kevin Stefanski is a guy that can develop a quarterback.
Straight ahead, a Jake Volnick segment that we've fallen in love with and had a good bit of fun with. Get a grip with Nick Pedone and Anthony Allant. Straight ahead on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.